If you would turn in your Bibles to John 10. And of course, yes, we stand out of respect of God's word. And these are actually Jesus' words, words that he taught to his disciples and to those that were in earshot. From John 10, we will be seeing how Jesus described himself. Reading from verses 11 to 19. So Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father."
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Here it is this, now the fourth Sunday of this season of Easter, and all across the country, all across the globe, in fact, many Christian churches observe this as the Good Shepherd Sunday. And so we had that reading you just heard Kathy read from John chapter 10, where Jesus says exactly that, "I am the good shepherd." And to tie that into the message that she was giving to the children, to say that he is the good shepherd is also to say that he is the true shepherd, not a fake one, not a pretender, but a true shepherd, the one by whom all other shepherds are measured. Of all the people in the world, who knows you the best? Now, if you are married, you might say, well, it's my spouse, my husband or wife. For some people, it might be a parent, mom or dad, maybe a sibling, maybe a coworker, a classmate, but somebody who perhaps knows you well enough that they can do things like finish sentences for you, kind of think similar sorts of things. But of course, ultimately, no matter who that is, ultimately nobody knows you better than you know yourself, at least in certain ways, right? Because we all have things where we think or say or do that we don't share, that others probably don't know about. Certain things that perhaps come to mind in our thoughts that we don't even try to think about, but then we try to get rid of again. We don't bring up everything, right? So of all the people in the world, in most ways, you are the one that knows you the best. You know every little nuance about yourself. But don't forget about how well Jesus knows you. Jesus says, "I know my sheep." That's what we heard, right, in John chapter 10. And when Jesus says this kind of thing, he's telling us that he is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd knows his sheep. So how well does Jesus know you? Now, it's interesting to me how shepherds look on their sheep. Now, to be honest with you, I haven't spent any significant time with sheep. You know, I think I've seen them. I'm sure I have. I know driving into town, coming up I-5, you know, seeing along the side of the road certain fields where there's flocks of sheep that are grazing and this kind of thing. But to my casual perspective, they all look alike. You know, when I look at sheep, to me it's just a bunch of sheep. They kind of all seem the same. It's just not individuals, but a flock. And that's sort of reflected even in our language, isn't it? We don't have two separate words, one of them being singular, one of them being plural. We just say sheep. You can talk about one sheep, or you can talk about a whole bunch of sheep. And I suppose maybe that's because they're so undistinctive to many of us. Yes, we can tell, sir. They have different shapes and different sizes and all this kind of thing. But for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, they're a dime a dozen. You know, you've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. What else do you need to know? But a good shepherd, and this is not just an ancient thing, but still in so many parts of the world today, a shepherd spends a lot of time with his sheep, and as he does, he gets to know them individually. He knows their different personalities. He understands the little quirks of each one of them. He can tell you this one here, you know, this one is really rambunctious. I kind of have to make sure I keep an eye on this one so it doesn't get too far away. Here's one, boy, if you turn on back on this one is cantankerous and mean. Here's a sheep that just wants to lie down in the field. I really have to kind of prod it and poke it a little bit to get it to those streams of quiet water and those green pastures. And so for that shepherd, each sheep has its own distinctive personality, different behaviors, different strengths, different weaknesses, and a good shepherd knows those different things and acts accordingly. And in the same way, Jesus knows you. He does, absolutely and completely. I know what each of your personalities is like, Jesus says. I know your strengths, and I know your weaknesses. Jesus knows you. But you know what? It goes so much deeper even than that. When Jesus says he knows you, it means that he knows you to a degree that you and I really, we can't completely comprehend. The Bible says that Jesus knew each of you long before you were even born. Listen to what it says in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before the creation of the world. Right? Before the mountains were formed, before the oceans took their place, before the rivers ran their courses, Jesus knew you. He knew your name. Before you were born, he knew who your parents would be. He knew what the exact genetic makeup would be. He can map your DNA. He knew what your family life would be like as you grew up. Before you were alive, Jesus knew all these different things about you. And today, he knows things about you that you don't even know about yourself, right? He knows what you were like as a one-year-old. I don't know, I can't remember what I was like as a one-year-old. I don't know if any of us can, but he knows. He knows how your brain works. He knows the things that you are sort of naturally predisposed to and other things that you really kind of shy away from. You ever do this? You ever have some sort of experience? And maybe you'll say, or maybe you've heard someone else say, you know what? I just discovered something about myself. Jesus would say, I knew that. See, he knows you much better than you will ever know yourself. And so, what do you think Jesus' opinion is about you? Since your life is an open book to him, right? He knows your thoughts before you think them. All those things that perhaps you keep to yourself, all those secrets in your mind, he knows what those are. He knows your history. He knows those faults and foibles, those sins you've committed. Some of those things you don't ever want to talk about. You want to try to forget about them yourself, but Jesus knows about them. He knows everything about you, every thought you've ever had. Everything you've ever done. Every word you've ever spoken. Listen to what the Bible says in this place in Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 8. See if you can relate to this. You, O Lord, have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. Nothing's hidden to him, right? Or listen to Psalm 40, verse 12. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. More than the hairs of my head? Well, guess who knows even the hairs of our head? You can look it up in Luke 12, by the way, in case you're not sure. So all that being the case, what do you think his opinion is about you? If Jesus knows me that well, if he can see all those things before that are hidden before people but not before him, all my faults, everything I failed at, well, he must not think very highly of me. He must know what a broken person I am. Remember, your whole life is an open book to him. And so if that's the case, then there's probably no way he wants us with him in heaven. Well, Jesus does know you. Jesus knows you, but instead of punishing you, listen to what he does. Listen again, or look it up where we read just now in John chapter 10. Because look at verse 15. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Do shepherds normally lay down their lives for their sheep? No, right? I mean, a good shepherd, a normal shepherd, is going to do what he, she can. You know, try to discourage the wild animals and those kinds of things. But any normal shepherd would say, lay down my life. Hey, let's not go crazy here. Let's, you know, we're living in a real world now. What good would that do? If I, as a shepherd, lay down my life for the sheep, then what's going to prevent something happening to the sheep? There's no one left to protect them. But this is what Jesus does for you. Satan comes and he wants to drag you down with him into hell. He deserves it, he tells God. This person deserves it. You know that. You know all their sins. You know all their faults. But Jesus steps forward and Jesus doesn't fight Satan. Instead, he lays down his life. He lays down his life and Satan takes it. And because he takes it, he thinks he has won. He can attack you next. He's coming. But then Jesus rises from the dead, and that changes everything. That changes everything. You see, by laying down his life for you, he takes away the punishment that our sins deserve. The wages of sin is death, and so he died. So by laying down his life, you no longer are going to receive that punishment that God would otherwise have for you. Your sins are forgiven. In any case, if you have any doubts, remember this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. You see, that's right. Jesus rose, and that's the proof that the payment is accepted. Because the wages of sin is death, Jesus died, but he rose to show that it's all paid for, and it cannot contain him. The sins are not his master. He is master of sin and death and the devil, and that you are really a forgiven child of God. And now when Jesus says that he knows you, what it means is this. He doesn't see you anymore as a person who deserves his anger or punishment. Now when Jesus looks at you, you know what he sees? He sees you as someone whose sins are taken away, whom his blood has covered. He sees you as someone who has been forgiven, as someone who not to be punished, but rather to be blessed by God the Father. Jesus sees you as a sheep that belongs in his flock, and he, as the good shepherd, wants to take care of you. Remember, he is your shepherd. And in this world, he leads you. You're not walking all by yourself, though sometimes it might feel that way. At times, he may lead you to joyful places, wonderful, amazing places, times of celebration. At times, the Good Shepherd might lead you to sad places, difficult places, places we might call valleys. The Good Shepherd might lead you into a health valley, a financial valley, a personal, emotional valley. He may even lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. During those times, you might think to yourself, nobody can understand this. Nobody can know what I'm going through. But Jesus says to you, I know. I know. Remember, I was a lamb too, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now I'm also your good shepherd. And I know my sheep. I know what you're going through. I know how you feel. In fact, I led you there. And you might say, what? You led me here. Why? Why would you lead me here? Why would you let me suffer? Why are you letting me suffer in this health valley, this financial value, this emotional? Why are you punishing me for my sins? Is this what's going on? And the Good Shepherd is saying to you, no. No. Remember, I laid down my life for you. So I've already paid for your sins. They're gone. They're forgiven. They were left nailed to the cross. Then why? Why having me suffer? And that's when Jesus says, it's because I know you. I know your needs better than you do. So I know that of all the places in the world to be right now, of all the things to experience right now, this is what is best. This is where you need to be. This is what you need to experience. Trust me, I know you better than you know yourself. I know there's going to be momentary pain. I know there's going to be some passing sadness. But when it's all over, I promise it'll be for your good. You'll understand what I'm doing. Remember, I know you. To some people, it feels like the whole Christian church in America is going through a valley. I mean, we know that the church doesn't have the same influence it did maybe a generation or two ago. Most congregations don't have as many people in worship as they did even 5 or 10 years ago. What's going on, God? Why are you putting us through this valley? Why are people turning away from the gospel or turning away from the faith? And why don't people respond to your good news the way it seems like they used to? And Jesus says, trust me, I've got it under control. I really do. I will never leave you, never forsake you. And my word will not return to me empty, but it will always accomplish that for which I send it. So remain faithful. That's all I ask. And so we follow him as he leads us through this world. And we trust him. We don't always understand him. But you know what? I don't think sheep ever really understand what their shepherd is doing, right? Do they? Most of the time, sheep have no idea what their shepherd is doing. Why is he putting us here? Why is he shoving us over there, leading us in this place? The sheep themselves have no idea, but the good shepherd does. The good shepherd knows exactly what he's doing. He knows his sheep. He does what's best for them all the time. And yes, there's some times, some situations where it might hurt for a while. You know, it's, I don't know, sort of like when you get a shot from the doctor, it hurts for a time, but you know it's for your long-lasting good. And so we trust him. I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. Are there places in your life where you recognize you've not been trusting Jesus or have not been honoring your good shepherd? As a sheep, have you wandered away, gone astray? You didn't even realize it until you looked back and you thought, oh, where'd he go? Maybe it just kind of happened accidentally. Or maybe on purpose, defiantly, thinking that this shepherd doesn't know what he's doing. I know better than my good shepherd. Even if you're going through some kind of valley right now, you can be absolutely sure that this is not the shepherd's final destination. He's not leading you to, but through these things, to green pastures, quiet waters. Even if those things seem awfully far away right now, you can't even see them from your perspective yet, but that's where he's going. And he gives you a glimpse of these today, in this moment, in this place. He gives you a hint of these right now here in his Holy Supper, his body and blood given and shed for you. He prepares this table for you even in the middle of the world where sometimes it feels like we're surrounded by enemies, spiritual and otherwise. But the devil can't do a thing about it. The only thing the devil can do is grit his teeth as he sees your cups overflow with goodness and mercy that will follow you all the days of your life. All because of your good shepherd. And most of all, you will dwell with him in his house forever. Jesus knows you. You and I sometimes have no idea why he leads us to the places that he does. Sometimes where he leads us as individuals, sometimes where he leads us as a congregation, we don't always quite see the picture as clearly or as completely as he does, but he led you here today, perhaps to hear his word in a way that you needed to hear, perhaps to cross paths with somebody who needed to cross paths with you, perhaps something else. But whatever it is, we know it's because he loves us with a love that we'll never fully, really, completely understand this side of heaven. But that love caused him to lay down his life for you and then to take it up again. And he promises that he knows you. What a comfort it is. Let's follow him and trust him. And to God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. I am Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Heavenly Father, as we go through this world in which we sometimes feel surrounded by enemies, going through valleys and shadows, continue to comfort us with your presence, your rod and your staff, and this holy meal by which you sustain us and nourish us, all to your glory, that we would point others to the cross of Jesus, our Savior, as well, in whose name we pray. Amen.